Travel down some of Buffalo's streets these days and you're likely to find brightly colored murals on building facades. It's all part of what Buffalo Spree editor Elizabeth Licata says is the year of the mural. I'm Mark Scott, and this week on WBFO's Press Pass, Elizabeth joins me to talk about the many dimensions of public art.
Hi, Mark.
Thanks for coming in. And where are we seeing examples of this?
Well, actually, all over the place. There are a bunch in Allentown at the intersection of Allen and Wadsworth. I guess I think of those because I live in Allentown, so I see them a lot. But they've proliferated. There was just one on the side of the Holly Farms building, but now that has been painted over with the new one. And then there's a big one on the whole side of the building across from it, and then from Kitty Corner. So there's a proliferation. A lot of them have been commissioned by Mark Goldman, a local businessman, and there's actually an association of artists who are involved in all this mural painting. But there's murals. I understand that there's some going up in the University District, mainly to cover graffiti. And there are murals up and down Elmwood Avenue, of course.
Are these artists simply doing this to express themselves, or is this part of a greater municipal plan that includes compensating these artists?
I think some of the artists are paid for the murals, especially those that are commissioned by the businessmen who own these buildings. This is not a public program. This is a private, mainly privately funded murals for the most part. I know that some schools have commissioned some, but the one on Elmwood that we have a picture of in our magazine is, you know, the person who owns that building has that, and then the ones in Allentown. And so I'm sure those artists are paid. I'm thinking they're not, you know, paid that much. You know, I mean, I'm sure I'll be corrected if I'm incorrect on that. And then we have along Elmwood, there is a project that is from the city of Buffalo to paint the signal boxes. And I don't know if those artists are being paid or not. A lot of them are very young and might really enjoy doing it just for the exposure. I met one of them when my husband and I were taking a walk. And I think it's this is the city's sort of, I'm sorry, I must say, feeble attempt to create some public art up and down Elmwood Avenue. And I really think they could do better.
Is there a distinction between murals and graffiti, some of which is quite striking?
Well, I think that some muralists are also artists who have painted, I guess, what some people would call graffiti, and that it wasn't commissioned or asked for. They just did it on a building. So a lot of that type of painting is very good and could measure up to a commissioned mural. But I think there's a big distinction, because most graffiti is just terrible, Mark. It's just tagging. And so, yes, there's a huge distinction. And these murals are commissioned. Graffiti is not. Graffiti is not always wanted. So I think the murals are colorful, many of them. Some of them are good. Some of them are not. I do not believe that they substitute for a coherent public art program.
Well, let's talk about that. What are you seeking here? A formal plan from City Hall on public art?
Well, it doesn't have to totally come from City Hall. It could be a collaboration between city, county, state, other non-for-profit agencies. Cities like Pittsburgh and Cleveland actually have offices of public art. And I believe that their governments are part of that, but I believe that other non-for-profits help administer them. But in any case, they have offices for public art. And we really don't. We have a commission, an art commission, that takes care of the many kind of, equestrian statues and historic statuary that we have throughout the entire city, and they clean it and so on. And they're pretty much content to do with that. I would like to see a public art program that's putting up art now. The last piece of art that was put up, public art, in Buffalo is Kenneth Nelson's Coronation Day in front of the City Court building. And then, of course, the last really public art program was in 1985, which was the art that you see up and down the subway stations, which is still there. So this, the kind of art I'm talking about, is art that can still be there after 30 years. And in that art is actually holding up pretty well. I mean, I think there could be some conservation in some cases. But that's all we've got. But here in Pittsburgh, I just took a glance at the website for their public art office. Well, they just put up 20-foot-high sculptures of steel workers on their Southside Riverfront Park, commissioned by the city. There were 22 artists involved. That was in 2011. Mm-hmm. In 2009, they put up 150 stone markers representing the stars and the planets that light up at night in Mellon Park. In Cleveland, in 2007, there's a stainless steel lit sculptures along their rapid bus transit line. And these are projects where there are RFPs, calls for proposals. These are not slap something here, slap something there. You have to have a plan.
And in this case, the artists are compensated probably.
Well, these are nationally known artists for the most part. Yeah. I see nothing wrong with bringing in artists from other places as well as using local artists. Certain artists do public art for most of their careers, so they really know what works and what's going to hold up. Mm-hmm. So you look for that as well.
Now, I learned from your article there is a law on the books here that requires major projects costing $1 million or more to have 1% of that cost set aside dedicated to art. Is this followed?
Well, no. It's obviously not required to the point of you have to do it. I think it's required to the point of this is something that we would like you to do. It should be followed. It does not seem to be something that is enforced. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. And as an example, you point to the recently renovated Buffalo schools.
$1 billion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but I would say that would mean $1 million worth of public art.
Hasn't Erie County Executive Mark Polenkars created a curator of public art based at the Albright Knox?
He's proposing it. Yeah. I believe there will be counting funds going towards it. If so, that's a good thing. I know that I've actually talked to the director of the Albright Knox some months ago, and he is very familiar with public art, and he's interested in it. So this is a good thing. I think having the Albright Knox spearhead it and having a curator who has curatorial experience in art, rather than just having politicians decide what kind of art we want to have, that's not good. It needs to be professionals in the art field. So if that happens, that's a good thing.
Well, let's move on to the cover story in Buffalo Spree in November. 41 great dishes. We don't have time to talk about them all. So why don't we do this? Why don't we each share one we'd like to try or maybe have tried already? And you start.
Okay, well, I was going to say you start, but that's all right. I have tried some of them. I wrote some of the descriptions, but I want to try this power toast. In fact, I'm thinking of doing this Saturday as part of sort of an exercise program, walking to the Five Points Bakery and with my husband and then rewarding ourselves by having some of this really cool toast that they have that with different toppings and spreads and little side accoutrement, and of course they have amazing coffee there. So I'm very excited about the power toast.
Well, I'm going to go with the least expensive item on your list, the Chelsea Lately from Frank Gourmet Hot Dogs. Now, this is a Salins hot dog, but it's covered with fresh coleslaw, crumbled blue cheese, and a glaze of barbecue sauce on top. So that sounds heavenly.
Wow. See, I just like to take my Salins dog and just make sure that it's completely blackened everywhere and eat it that way, and that's enough for me.
I like that, too. Now, when most magazines do a best or great ranking, they do a top 10 or a top 40 or even a top 100. But when you do a ranking, it's the 41 great dishes, or earlier this year, the 34 most beautiful people from Western New York. What's with the oddball numbers?
We like odd numbers. Our our creative director, Chastity, likes there to be the odd numbers look better on the page. It's all about looks, you know. It's the design aspect of it. It kind of makes it sound like there could be many, many more, too, whereas I believe 50 is kind of finite. Yeah. 50 and no more. But if you say, well, 47, like, oh,
I knew this was
by
design.
Implies continuity. Oh, yeah. it is all about design, though, really.
Yeah, yeah. When you do a feature like this, for example, The Great Dishes, are you hearing from chefs right now who say, why didn't you include my special dish? And how do you handle that?
Well, we just say, we didn't, and we will keep it in mind for the next time. And we're the editorial department. We consider that we're tastemakers, and we have reasons for picking what we pick, and we're trying to help our readers. We're not trying to make businesses happy necessarily. But the sales department, that would be an entirely different matter.
Also in the November issue is a list of the region's best lawyers, plus a Q&A with new Buffalo Niagara Partnership President Dottie Gallagher-Cohen. A lot to read, as usual.
Oh, yes.
So thanks for coming in, Elizabeth.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.